watches over us and cares for us. We sometimes don't look at this as an act of worship, but when we
came in this morning and had an opportunity to give, as we leave this morning, if you'd like, you have an opportunity to give. That's an act of worship. And what we do now is we take some time during the service to just sit here and listen to Loretta play. And I just want us to sit and give thanks to God. He has provided, and He will provide, and we are thankful. Let's do that. God, you've asked us to be good stewards of what you've given us, for we don't own anything. It's all yours. And God, we pray this morning as these gifts have been given to you, that you would help us to be the best of stewards of those gifts, that we would follow only your will, your agenda, your purposes, not ours. And we give you thanks and praise for that privilege. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Maybe see.
Okay, well, let's go back and think about the first proverb that we read. And within that context, here's the story, another story before we get into the scripture reading. So I'm talking to a person outside of the church, and I say, I got it made. I am really all in. Look, I got the t-shirt with the saying on it, okay? I've got the lawn sign that says, let's take, give it to God, okay? God's got it. I got that on my lawn. I got the t-shirt. I'm wearing a cross. I'm in, okay? But you know what? It takes more than symbols. Mm-hmm. You got to walk the walk and talk the talk and have it in your heart, okay? And with that, we'll get the comments of James, 1 James 5 through 8. So if you read along with me, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave on the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. And this is the word of God, a tad harsh, but once again, you've got to believe, not just where the outcomings. Thank you.
Well, here we are, seventh in a series of eight on prayer, and I'm sure there are other types of prayer we could talk about. These all kind of intersect with each other a little bit, but I wanted to deal with guidance this morning. And you know, this week I came across a prayer that I wanted to share with you before I share the message, and it's a prayer from God to his child. Good morning. This is God. Today, I will be handling all your problems. Please remember, I don't need your help. If you encounter a situation you can't handle, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly put it in the SFGTD box, something for God to do box. It will be addressed in my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed into the box, do not hold on to it nor remove it. Holding on or removal will delay the resolution of your problem. If it is a situation you think you are capable of handling, please consult me in prayer to be sure that is the proper resolution. Because I do not sleep, nor do I slumber, there is no need for you to lose any sleep. Please rest, my child. If you need to contact me, I am only a prayer away. My prayer line is open 24 hours of your day. I love you, and I will always be with you wherever you may go. As with all good things, pass my message on. Love, God. I like that prayer. And it's true. We ought to pray that prayer.
Put it in the newsletter.
Probably should do that, yeah. Yeah. Remember the first time you tried to tie your shoe? Didn't go so well, did it? Nowadays, a lot of them don't have to tie shoes anymore. We got Velcro. But it was frustrating to tie your shoe because you saw how everybody else did it. The older folks did it, but you couldn't tie your shoe. And so you had to ask for guidance. Oftentimes, it was either big brother or sister, or it was mom or dad that would help you. And eventually, you were able to tie your shoe because you asked for guidance. Or riding a bike, same thing. Try it all by yourself, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to work. But when dad or mom goes alongside that bike and pushes it along and runs along beside you and encourages you, before you know it, you can start riding a bike because of guidance. Or how about swimming? Same thing. Someone helped you to learn how to swim so that you could swim. Someone gave you guidance. It's frustrating when you're tried to do it yourself, and oftentimes you're met with complete failure. But when you got someone there to guide you, you can usually come to the solution that you need to have. Someone was there to guide you until you got it right. In this prayer that I shared this morning, and in the sermon that I want to share with you, the message, you and I need to understand that's what God does for us in life. You know, I was thinking about guidance and, you know, how in today's world we use GPS to get around in our cars. I haven't looked at a map in a long time, except for the GPS map that's up there on the screen. I thought, GPS, what could that stand for? And I thought, this works perfectly. G is guidance, P is per, and S is Savior. Guidance per Savior. You and I have a GPS. That GPS is God's Word. It guides us through life. It is God speaking to us. Now, sometimes God speaks to us also through prayer. Sometimes God speaks to us through a brother or sister in Christ that's been praying for us, and maybe they have something to share with us that helps and guides us along. But you and I do have a spiritual GPS. The thing is, do you use it or not? Following instructions. You know, us guys sometimes don't do a good job of that. We get something that comes in a box. It's like, if I can figure it out, there's the picture, let's do it. Usually with three or four bolts left and a couple nuts and who knows what else is still hanging there when you're done. Too proud to admit that we didn't do it quite right. Following instructions. The I don't need the instructions mentality. There are people out there in the world today that don't think they need God's guidance. I hear this often because people know I'm a pastor, so they just say it. Say, oh, I love God. That's such a generic statement. It can be a very personal statement, but oftentimes it's used in such a generic kind of way. Oh, I love God. It's basically, in a sense, saying sometimes in the context I'm talking about, it's like, he's there, but I'm doing my own thing. But I know he's there. I know he's there. Or the I don't need the instructions mentality that says I'm a pretty good person. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I don't really need God because I'm a pretty good person. Because all my neighbors are worse than I am. Or I don't need the instructions because I already go to church. I attend. Attending church doesn't mean anything. But if you come seeking God, it means everything. I'm afraid there might be those that get to heaven and think they're in because they went to church. If nothing happened, if their lives aren't changed, if they never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, there'll be a rude awakening. The I don't need the instructions mentality. My parents were Christians. That gets me in because I'm blood related. Well, they're blood and there's Jesus' blood. And it's Jesus' blood that we need to get in, not our parents' blood. But I know some people think, you know, it's a done deal because I grew up in a Christian home. I don't need the instructions. Or just flat out, I know what I'm doing. I've done that sometimes and usually fall flat in my face. There's a problem with those above descriptions I just shared with you, and that is this: I have a sin problem, and so do you. That's why all these things don't work. They don't work because I have a sin problem. My decisions are tainted. My decisions are bent. My decisions are informed by sin. That's why I need guidance, because I don't know the answer yet. I don't know where God is taking me yet, and I need him because I am tainted by all these other things. I am not always following the instructions, and the solution is in following the instructions, because they're there to guide us through the process. So I guess I better look at the instructions. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Favorite verses of mine because they were the first verses my parents gave me in my first Bible from them. Let me take the first phrase. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How do I do that? Because sometimes we are not trusting, maybe because of what's happened in our lives. It's hard for us to trust people because we've been let down on many occasions. And so it's really hard for us to trust. And if I can't trust people, how can I trust God? Or maybe I even say, I have trusted you in the past and whatever happened didn't work out the way I wanted it to work out. So I don't think you're trustworthy. Well, we don't understand is God's purposes. And while we're here on this earth, sometimes we are still left with a bit of wonder. We don't always know why God does what he does. We don't always know those things. And we live in a sinful world where Satan is doing all he can to mess with us. He is trying to push all the buttons and steer us in the wrong direction. But God knows. How do I do that? Well, you know what? When I read his instructions, I understand that he is trustworthy in his word. Every time God has promised something to his people, he has come through on it. Every time. 100% record of always coming through when he says he's going to come through. It may not have been the way they wanted him to come through, but he always came through. He always answered. God is trustworthy. If he has a 100% track record with them in God's word, then I believe with all my heart, you and I can trust him with everything that comes our way. Everything that comes our way. Because he's got a perfect track record. And you know what else he has? He has a love for you that knows no limits. We sing a little song during the week in VBS that they always want me to do it at least once. It's the little white box song. And I love it. It's just such a simple song, but in that one phrase where you take Jesus out of the box and you just give him a kiss. And I let the kids know I really want to kiss him a lot because I love him so much, because he loves me even more. He loves me even more, and he loves you even more. His love is not based on your performance. He's not, you know, some of us maybe grew up in a context where love was given to us based on how good we did. That's not God. He loves you and I, period. Now, granted, sometimes we stray, we go away, and he disciplines us, but I'm thinking, God, he does that just like I think my parents, they disciplined me, because if they didn't, who knows where I'd be today. But he is trustworthy, and he loves you and me far more than you could ever imagine. So you can trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then here's the second part of this. This has to do with a prayer of guidance. Lean not on our own understanding. Again, we are tainted by sin. We're tainted by those circumstances. We're tainted by a fallen world. Where has it gotten me before? In a mess. Lean not on my own understanding. Because I don't have a complete understanding of things. And it is tainted by pride and greed and selfishness. It's tainted by wanting something now rather than waiting on the Lord. Just like you go to McDonald's, you get your food pretty fast. Go to Arby's, it takes a couple minutes longer. You go to a sit-down restaurant, you have to wait for 15 minutes. You see what I'm saying? This mentality we have that we want the resolution to whatever that's going on, we want it now. And then he says, after lean not on your own understanding, he says this, in all your ways acknowledge him. And everything that's going on in life, acknowledge that God is there and God is guiding and God is directing if we let him in. We need to walk with him. We need to talk with him. We need to ask him. We need to seek him. Those are the things that you and I need to do in our lives. Not only when life is a mess, not only when the plane is crashing. We need to come to him every day with our life and seek his guidance. We don't know what's ahead for that day. God, guide me. I know if I take on today by myself, I'll mess it up. But if I take on today, leaning not on my own understanding, and in all my ways acknowledging you, what will you do? And here he says it. And he will make your path straight. Or another translation of that is he will direct your paths. He will take you where you need to be. He'll get you there. It may be a different path than what you wanted, but he'll get you there. Trust him with it. A straight path basically is just kind of the opposite of the crooked path of the wicked. And that's what he's talking about, the opposite of that. Straight path doesn't mean that point A to point B is going to be easy. But what he means is all the distractions that are going on right now, all those things that are pulling you away from me, if you will trust me with it, I will take you to where you need to go, the way it needs to be. And it may be difficult, but I'll get you there. Trust me with it. God is trustworthy. That's why Jesus said, and we went through this a couple times already, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. So he will make your path straight. Folks, we need to seek guidance from him. He is willing to guide. Why aren't we willing to ask? And that's where James comes in, the text that was read this morning in James. If any one of you, in verse 5, lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously. If any of us lacks wisdom, and I'll say, yep, that's me, my wisdom's lacking. If we ask him, he'll give generously. Seek him. Ask him. He doesn't find fault like we do. He says that right in the text. Let me read it again, just see if you didn't get it. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Now, people in the world here find fault, don't they? They find fault with us, and we find fault with them. But God doesn't find fault with us. He just says, look, you're my child, and I love you, and you're messed up on your own. But if you'll just follow me, if you'll just seek my guidance, I will take you where you need to go. I'll get you where you need to go. Follow me. Trust me completely with this. And I won't find fault with the detours you take. Just come back. You know, and that's the point, because it isn't a straight line. Because you and I are struggling with our sin nature. And sometimes we do a beautiful job of seeking God and his guidance, and we're walking along that path. But you know who's off to the side over there? Satan. Hey, Dave. What about this? And he makes it really attractive. That's what he does. Sin, if it wasn't attractive, we'd never do it, right? But if it's attractive, maybe I might. So he's off over here trying to get us off base, and God's saying, look, I'm not going to find fault with you, because I know you live in a fallen world, and I know you can't do it by yourself. But just trust me again. Trust me again, and I'll keep you going down that path. Let's forget about what just happened, because I don't find fault with you. Isn't that beautiful that God doesn't find fault with us? My word, how many times I've messed up in my life. And he doesn't say, you did that last week, Dave. You didn't trust me last week. So I'm not sure if I'm going to help you this week. That's not what God does. He doesn't find fault with what happened. He says, trust me right now and let's move forward. Trust me right now and let's move forward. That's what James is telling us. But he says, if you're going to ask, and you're asking me, you got to do it believing. You've got to do it believing. You can't ask and say, well, God's probably not going to do it, or he can't do it, or whatever the case is. No, he says you've got to ask believing. Do not doubt, because if you doubt, that's when Satan comes in and presses all those buttons. If I'm doubting that God's going to take care of it, Satan comes in and says, God can't do it, or he doesn't want to do it because you ain't good enough. You've blown it too many times in your life. Do you think God cares? No, he doesn't really care. And that's what Satan does. So what we have to do is we got to ask believing and not doubting. Like the waves of the sea blown and tossed by the wind all over the place. We need to trust him. And even like the one Jesus came across who wanted him to heal. And he says, I believe. But help me with my unbelief. And so, folks, when you find yourself in that boat saying, God, I want to trust you. I want to believe, but I'm having a little problem right now. Go to him even with that. Go to him even with that. And over time, God's going to help you to trust him absolutely and completely with everything. Because doubt gives room for the devil to push the buttons. Don't let him do it. So, as I close, read the instructions. They're right here. So so that all the nuts and the bolts and all the things that need to be a part of my life for me to live my life in a way that brings honor and glory and praise to God will be put in place the way they're supposed to be put in place. Ask for guidance. You're having a tough time tying that shoe? Ask for guidance. You're having a tough time dealing with that tough thing that you got to face? Ask for guidance. You might be surprised what will happen when you do that. Because God wants to guide you. And remember, Jesus is our GPS. Isn't he? Amen. Let's pray. God, you're never too busy. You're not like the phone calls we make to wherever it is we might want to call, and they say press 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or whatever, and then we wait. You will always answer. Now, it may be that the resolution to the situation may not come right away, but you are always there for us. Your ear is always bent our way. You never put us on hold, even though the resolution might be on hold. We come to you, God, with everything. We ask for wisdom. We ask that you'd guide us. And we ask that you'd help us to believe and trust you completely with everything in our life. And we find ourselves doubting. Help us to be like the man in the Gospels that said, help me with my unbelief. And you will. God, we are so grateful that we serve a patient God who is merciful and grace-filled and forgiving and compassionate and patient. Thank you. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.